I'm Debbie Draby from the Clinical Excellence Commission, and I'm pleased you can join us for this three-part series with Dr. Andrea Christoph and David Sweeney. This podcast is part one of a three-part series on creating safety in M&M discussions. In this segment, Facilitation in Practice, David Sweeney explores good facilitation with Dr. Andrea Christoph, who shares her experiences of how effective communication can engage clinicians in reflective discussions in M&Ms. Andrea explores her early experiences of M&Ms and the challenges of using a systematic approach to review cases. The discussion includes the significance of facilitation skills in enabling a diversity of perspectives to understand the complexities of the system in which patient care is delivered. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Debbie. So by way of introduction, I thought I'd start by saying something about the work that we've been doing in HETI, in the leadership team in HETI, looking at this issue of facilitation, because for us, there is a very strong and powerful link between the use of the targeted use of facilitation and the exercise of leadership. And I think that this topic that we're talking about today, which is M&M meetings, this is a really great example of where highly effective facilitation can really make an important difference. So I wanted to start, Andrea, by asking you something about how the area of M&M meetings first came to your attention and why you thought this might be a good opportunity for bringing in some stronger facilitation skills.
Thank you, David. So the background for me, I think, started, I do a lot of education-based simulation and debriefing. So I've had some advanced training and debriefing processes. And when I first moved to Australia, I was attending meetings, both morbidity meetings and mortality meetings across different departments. And I guess the thing that stood out to me was that there were very siloed conversations that weren't including all the disciplines, for example, in the meeting. And so for me, it was a goal to kind of bring a multidisciplinary M&M to, you know, my department so that we could then try to explore what's happened with events, what went well, what could be improved, and look at it from a very structured systems improvement perspective. So I think the debriefing background in simulation has actually engaged me into the process of facilitating in the M&Ms and developing that structure.
Yes. And what was it when you first started attending M&M meetings, what was it that you were noticing about the way those meetings were being conducted that you thought, well, there's an opportunity here to do something different?
Yeah, so I think one of the first meetings that I attended, there was a case that was presented around the death of a child, and there was some discrepancies between the management strategy for the patient, and it was very clear that there were some mistakes that had been made. And I just felt as though the conversation was very circular and we weren't really getting to the point of it. And when I just used my radical candor to say, well, it looks to me like there was an error in what happened, I immediately got shut down by both the medical staff and the nursing staff in the room, because it was kind of a no-go space in which we didn't want to talk about that. And so there wasn't kind of a structured, safe way that we could explore the events that happened around the death of this child that we could learn from. And so for me, that was the nidus, if you will, for wanting to develop a space where we could actually explore in a meaningful way that was safe for staff to actually talk about.
Sure. And I really like your phrase, radical candor, because I think people often think that in order to talk about some of those taboo areas, that it requires enormous bravery, enormous courage, and in fact, that the only way to do it is to end up getting people offside or being very confrontational. But I get the sense from what you're describing there is that you've been applying some tools to surface some of these difficult subject areas in a way which keeps people still in the room, if you like, keeps people still engaged with the content.
Yes, I think it's about the way in which you frame it. And so on the back of going to some of these earlier meetings and using the structure of the CEC guidelines for the M&Ms, we've actually developed a very structured way in which we approach every meeting. We open it up and try and provide some safety science and talk about some themes in anticipation of the cases. We relate that to actual data of what, you know, what's happened in the intensive care unit, for example, over the last couple of months, and how we are benchmarking against other centers and other departments. So that kind of contextualizes it a bit mm-hmm. in that sense. And then we move into talking about the cases and using that very straightforward, you know, recognizing that things went well, but then also being just direct about what didn't go well, and that actually having a conversation about it and trying to bring people into that space and to talk about it, which is not easy, particularly if you don't have everyone in the room. So I guess that was one of the other things that I struggled with when I first started going to these meetings several years ago, was just within one department. And so it's really difficult to talk about a case openly and transparently if you don't have everybody in the room. So for example, if a patient transverses through the emergency department to the intensive care unit to the operating theater to the ward and then goes home, that patient has traveled through potentially multiple teams. And so in order to actually talk about that case, whether it's a morbidity case or a mortality case or a combination of both, I feel like you need to have all the players in the room to have a very robust, rich conversation, because you can't make assumptions about what other teams were thinking when they developed the management strategy for the patient. And I think we always go back to the basic principle is that everybody comes to work to the best thing that they can for the patient. And so the decisions that were made in the moment were made for a reason. And we need to be able to explore that with the people that were involved.
Well, I think that's a very interesting point that you touch on there, which is very relevant to good facilitation practice, which is taking that position which attributes reasonableness to other people and their position and their actions in the time, but also what they have to say about it afterwards. That starting from a position where you take seriously those different contributions, that you delay judgment about whether that was the right thing to do or could have been done better until the full picture is explored. And of course, the point you make about having everybody there is going to be very important in constructing that picture, because otherwise, if certain individuals or certain parts of the system are not there, then you're going to make those assumptions, aren't you? You're going to say, well, we assume that those people were behaving in this way or took those decisions, but their voice is not part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. So the point you make about making sure that everybody contributes to those reflective discussions seems to me to be incredibly important. What though has been the most difficult thing in terms of the changes that you made or the ways in which you've restructured the meetings or redesigned the meetings? What have been the points where you've encountered most resistance or where it's been most difficult to engage people in a different way of holding those types of meetings?
So I think before we started doing morbidity meetings, we only did mortality. So we were only talking about the death and the process of end of life in the intensive care unit. So 18 months ago, we introduced morbidity and talking about themes. So we thought that was really important to actually theme the cases, for example, like failed extubations or readmissions to the intensive care unit. And then we'd use a case that that was around that. And I think at the beginning, it was kind of shifting from that, we're just talking about mortality and what happened around the death of this child, and actually taking a deeper dive into a morbidity case and looking at contributing factors. So there was a bit of resistance to kind of use the systematic approach. But we've gotten over that over the last year and people have embraced it. I guess the challenging thing for me is the feedback we get quite a lot is we haven't gone into the case in enough detail. We haven't gotten to talk about the issues enough. And when you have that time pressure of an hour to 90 minutes to kind of go through themes, talk about safety science, do a bit of morbidity, do a bit of mortality, it's how do you find that balance? As far as buy-in goes, we have a really good group of clinicians, both medical, nursing and allied health, who are really keen to come. It's one of our most attended meetings. So I think at some time with the Zoom now, because of COVID, we have up to 45 to 50 people just coming to our local M&Ms. And we circulate the minutes to everyone that's attended. So as far as barriers, I think we're still probably not there with the psychological safety and actually really getting into some of the issues and speaking about them in an open and transparent way. And I think that that's just going to take time, and again is linked to the culture outside of the meetings, and it's just a process for which we're working on, but that's probably the biggest barrier for us.
Yes And the other thing that you mentioned was when you were talking about stakeholders, bringing in people all along the sort of patient's pathway, do you find that bringing in, I suppose, people who are not directly connected to your unit but have had some involvement in caring for that that patient along the journey, that is challenging, bringing in almost these external parties to your unit? Does that get in the way of people being open and honest about what's happened?
I think, again, it goes back to the functional relationships. And in intensive care, we're very integrated with all the other teams because the patients are in the ICU and they've got multiple teams coming in and out. So, again, it's that relationship outside of the meeting and then that reflection before the meeting. So for a case, for example, that involved an oncology patient, we'd meet with the oncology team to say, we're going to present this case, these are themes that came up for us, we just wanted to give you some time to reflect before we have the meeting. So no one's really kind of dumped in prepared for the session. And again, I think because our relationships with those outside teams are so integral that there is that mutual respect in the room, sometimes not, and we recognize that, and you can tell there's a shift in the meeting and it's very superficial. People aren't really talking about the issues and someone doesn't feel safe to bring it up or say what they think, and to me that's a fail. A meeting where we either could have prepared in a different way or we need to actually reflect on why that happened in the way that it did. It's a work in progress.
Yes. And it sounds like you, one of your guiding principles for the way in which the meeting gets conducted is that this is a learning space. And some of the other ideas that you've mentioned about sending people articles or sending people links to new guidelines, that what you're creating there is a space that for which people can get a benefit, even if they weren't directly involved in the case themselves, that there is always a learning opportunity for people. And I suppose it seems to me that should be the primary purpose of those meetings.
Thanks for listening to this podcast with Dr. Andrea Christoph and David Sweeney on creating safety in M&M discussions. I really hope you enjoyed it. Please note, this is one of a three-part series, and I hope that you have the opportunity to listen to the other two segments as Andrea and David continue the conversation on the power of effective facilitation to enable psychological safety in M&M meetings. Listen in as David and Andrea discuss their insight and lessons learned from their experiences of supporting the leadership in M&Ms. I'm Debbie Draby from the Clinical Excellence Commission, and I'm pleased that you can join us in this conversation with senior leaders as they explore the guiding principles of effective morbidity and mortality meetings in action. This podcast series has been developed to explore the experiences and insights from leading M&M meetings. Look out for more podcasts as we continue this conversation with clinicians as they share their journey and learning. I hope you find it useful, and if you'd like to contribute to this conversation, please let me know. Thank you.